We're looking today at the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, and what a great story this is. There are so many great truths, and there are so many great lessons that we find in this chapter, and we want to get to our studies today, beginning in verse 19. This is where we read about the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, what we're going to do today, our game plan this morning, is to briefly summarize what this story is about. So we're going to look at the basic ideas in the story, and then we're going to spend most of our time today talking about 10 things that do not happen when you die. We're going to look at 10 false ideas about life after death, and all of these are shown to be false by this story that we're looking at. So let's begin here today by looking briefly at what this story is about. You'll remember that there are two men involved in this story. There's a beggar named Lazarus, and the Bible says that when he died, he went to a place of paradise. He went to a place of comfort. On the other hand, you have the rich man. And when he died, the Bible says that he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. Now, what happens after this is found in verse 24. The Bible says, "The rich man cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.'" The same man that refused to have mercy on a poor beggar is now begging for mercy himself. And the Bible says in verse 25 that it was too late. The scriptures say, "But Abraham said, 'Son, do you remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things? But now he's comforted, and you're tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed.'" He didn't say there's a great wall. He said there's a great gulf. "So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." So Abraham said there's no trading places here. There's no travel between one of these places and the other. So you're there to stay where you're at, and Lazarus is here to stay with me. He's going to be comforted, and you're going to be tormented. Now, with that in mind, I want to look at 10 things that are not found in this passage of Scripture, and they're not found anywhere else in the Bible. Number one, when you die, there is no real end at death. There are people that look at it that way, and there are many people, I suppose, that wish or want death to be the end, but it's not the end at all. The Bible says here that both the rich man and Lazarus lived on. Death, as many people have said, is just a transition. And in a lot of ways, it is truly the beginning. Death is not the end, friends. It's the end of your mortal body. It's the end of living in that physical body here on the earth. Because the Bible says that that body is made of the dust and it's going to return to the dust. But your spirit, you see, is going to live on forever. And when you die, your spirit will leave your body and it's going to go either to a place of rest or a place of punishment. So there's no real end at death. That's number one. Number two, there's no such thing as soul sleeping. There are people that believe that when you die, your soul does leave your body. It does go either to a place of punishment or a place of rest. But in the meantime, your soul is going to be asleep. You're not even going to be aware of what's going on around you. You're not even going to be conscious. And so they refer to that oftentimes as soul sleeping. Now, we don't find that here, do we? We don't find that Abraham's soul was asleep. We don't find that Lazarus was asleep here. And we certainly don't see the rich man being asleep. Oh, he may wish that it were sleep. He may wish that it was some kind of nightmare, but it's not. It's reality. So there's no such thing as soul sleeping according to the Bible, and that's exactly what we find here in Luke chapter 16. Number three, there's no such thing as the annihilation of the soul. Now by that, what we mean is this, that there are people that believe that your soul does exist. They believe that your soul does leave your body when you die. They believe that your soul does go either to a place of rest or to a place of punishment, but they look at those two places differently. They say, if your soul goes to a place of rest, you're going to be there forever. Your soul will never die. But if you go to a place of punishment, you will be punished for a while, and then God will annihilate your soul. God will, so to speak, put you out of your misery, and so it will be a kind of mercy killing. And I ask you again, folks, is that what you see in Luke chapter 16? Do you find that anywhere in the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Do you find it anywhere in the Bible? And the answer is no. The rich man's soul was not annihilated. He was not put out of existence. He had to suffer this punishment, and he's still suffering this punishment to this very day. Friend, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So the life that those who are righteous receive in heaven is going to be forever. It is everlasting. It is eternal. The punishment that the wicked receive at the day of judgment is going to be just as long, if we can say it in that way. And that is, it's going to be everlasting. It's going to be eternal. So the life is not temporary, and the punishment is not temporary. The life is eternal, and the punishment is eternal. It never has an end. There's no such thing, according to the Bible, as God annihilating certain souls in the hereafter. Number four, there's no such thing as reincarnation. So Lazarus does not go back to the earth, and the rich man does not go back to the earth. The whole idea of reincarnation was born from the idea that certain people ought to be punished in a way because they haven't lived a certain kind of life. And so they're brought back to the earth, or they're placed in the bodies of animals or something else, and they're allowed to live that way for some time, and then they die, and the process keeps repeating itself. Well, there's no such thing in the Bible as this idea, even though there are millions and millions of people that believe in the idea of reincarnation, which, by the way, is a very old idea. It used to be called in Greek mythology the transmigration of the soul. And then today, of course, you have Hindus and others that believe in what they call reincarnation. It's nowhere in the Bible. And what we find here in Luke chapter 16 is that the story of the rich man and Lazarus implies that it is false. Number five, there's no such thing as coming back as a ghost. The rich man was not allowed to come back to the earth, and Lazarus was not allowed to come back to the earth. The idea of spirits roaming the earth, floating around, and tormenting and scaring people is nowhere in the Bible. And it's sad, folks, that you have so many people that believe that kind of thing. A survey was taken in Great Britain several years ago that revealed that there were more people that believed in ghosts than believed in God in that country. Well, if we follow the Bible and we go by the scriptures, what we find is that the Bible plainly denies that anybody comes back as some kind of ghost, some kind of spirit that just floats around and torments and scares other people. Number six, there is no such thing as a second chance after death. There's no chance to turn it around. There's no other opportunity to change your condition after you die. This life is the time that we have to choose the way that we're going to live. And so this man, the rich man, cried out for mercy. He begged for mercy, but he was not given mercy. Why is that? Well, because this is the time. The time that we live on earth is the time where mercy is extended to us. Now, when we die, that's when justice is going to be served. And at the day of judgment, that's going to be a day of justice. It's not going to be a time where God says, okay, you messed up in this life, so I'll give you a second chance. Suppose that God were to do that. I mean, just imagine if God were to say, okay, I'm going to give some of you a second chance. Well, let's suppose that those people blew that second chance. Let's suppose that they didn't use the second chance. What's he going to do then? Give them a third chance, and then a fourth chance, and on and on? No, folks, God knew what he was doing when he gave us the time that we have on this earth. He knows that if we can't decide to love and serve him in the short life that we live here, it's not going to help any if we have a second chance or a third chance. The story of the rich man and Lazarus disproves the idea of a second chance. Number seven. This story disproves the idea of praying to the dead. You say, well, why would anybody want to do that? Well, there are religious people who actually do pray to the dead. They ask them for certain favors. They pray to them and put forth their petitions to those dead people. And that's something that the Bible never teaches. The Bible says that we're to pray to God. Somebody that has passed from this life is not going to be able to do anything for you. Somebody that is already dead is not going to be able to do you any favors. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9, verses 5 and 6, that when people die, they have lost their connection to this present world. They're not even aware of what's going on here. So if they're not aware of what's taking place on the earth, then how can anybody think that they hear the prayers of somebody on the earth and that they can actually do something about what has been requested? That's nowhere taught in the Bible. So the idea of praying to the dead is disproved by Luke chapter 16. Number 8, the story of the rich man and Lazarus disproves the idea of praying for the dead. There are people that don't pray to the dead so much as they pray for them. They pray that they will be delivered. They pray that God will have mercy on them. Well, folks, again, we look at this rich man, and we find that he was asking for himself. He was begging for mercy himself, and what happened? He was refused. Well, if the rich man himself asked for mercy, and he was not given mercy, what good would it do for anybody on earth to pray for him to have mercy once he's left this world? Praying for the dead is never found in the Bible. If we're going to pray for somebody, then we had better pray for them while they are alive, especially as it pertains to, of course, the matter of forgiveness and the matter of salvation. Number 9, you do not find purgatory in this passage. Purgatory, of course, is the idea that some people go to the place of punishment and they stay there for a while, and then they're allowed to go on to the place of rest, eventually to heaven itself. And this, of course, connects with the idea of praying for the dead. There are people that believe that you can actually pray for departed spirits, people that are in hell, and if you pray enough, and even in the past, if you pay enough or if you do enough good deeds on this earth for that person, then that person will be released from his suffering in hell and he'll be allowed to go on into paradise. Well, that didn't happen with the rich man, did it? You don't find that idea in Luke chapter 16. The Bible says that Abraham told him, look, you're there and you're going to be punished there, and there's a great gulf between us and you cannot come over here to a place of rest. That is an absolute denial of the doctrine of purgatory. And number 10, which we have already alluded to several times today, there is no mercy for people in hell. Remember that the Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And remember the words of Acts 22, verse 16, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Folks, I've enjoyed studying with you today. I hope that you'll go back and read this passage of Scripture, and we plan to follow up on this tomorrow morning, Lord willing, on the broadcast. Thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to have you, and we want to wish you a wonderful rest of the day.